But that is a lot of Bibles, no matter what way you slice it up. And it's lovely. We at Bible Society, what we do is we offer the Bible to the world. And we do that because we believe that when people engage with it, their lives can change for good. And I believe it because I've seen it in my own life. And I want to thank you for your partnership in making that change possible, for making that difference. So now as we unpack just one small passage from this amazing book, let's unpack Isaiah 55. And thank you so much for reading it earlier. We've been through a really weird 2 years, haven't we? Let's name that now. COVID has been high on the list and has left us through some really weird times. And you might be able to remember now, if you think back over the last 6 months or so, you might be able to remember the first thing that looked like normal. Maybe it was the first time you met a friend for coffee in a real coffee shop. Maybe it was the first time you jumped on the bus. Maybe it was the first time you gathered here to sing out loud without masks on. And I can see some nodding. Yes. It's been like we've been in a kind of exile. And this Isaiah 55 is written to Israelites who are returning to Jerusalem after exile. Now, our exile out of normality lasted just over 2 years. The Israelites have been away for 70 years. 70 years. That's 70 years with no normality, away from their homes, and worst of all, for them, 70 years away from the temple, away from the physical presence of God. That's a big exile to return to. And we wonder how they might have been feeling. Maybe they were feeling disappointed. Maybe they were feeling hurt, fearful. Perhaps they even were feeling done with God. They haven't worshipped him in his temple for 70 years. That's more than a generation. After all, where has God been in the middle of the exile? And I am really privileged at Bible Society, I have to say. I get to work with amazing people. And one of the amazing people I work with is a guy called Andrew Ollerton. He is a theologian. I can't even say it. That's how impressive it is. So Dr. Andrew Ollerton says, exile is more than just an event in the Bible. It's a deep metaphor that explains a universal condition that we still experience today. So whilst we're reading something written thousands of years ago, it still applies to us today, here in 2022. So what are we like as we come out of exile? Perhaps maybe we are just relieved that it's all done and we can start to get back to normal. But if we're honest, we too might be feeling a bit like the Israelites. We might be feeling disappointed with the past 2 years about the celebrations that were missed. We might be feeling hurt. We might be feeling fearful that we've had it and that we'll get it again or that we might have it for the first time. Maybe some people will be feeling like they're done with God, but the fact that you're here makes me feel you probably don't feel like that. And this Isaiah 55 is entitled The Lord's Invitation. And this is, God understands how we've been over the last 2 years. He's seen Israel go through it, and this is the invitation that we can respond to that changes everything. So I'm just going to read, we said, and I'm reading from the Good News Bible. Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you that have no milk, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, it will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best of all food. So this is about being thirsty. Now, we all know what it is to be thirsty for water. I've got a bottle here and I've got a glass here. Thank you very much. But we also know that thirst isn't just about a drink of water. Sometimes we thirst for love. Sometimes we thirst for justice. We thirst for the right thing to be done. And often we can start to look in all the wrong places. And it's important to look in the right place. And we have to remember that this is also, this passage is for those who have no money. Now, that's not just talking about poor people. I don't know this because I'm not a theologian, but I'm reliably informed. This isn't just poor people. This is people who feel like they're an outsider. like they're forgotten, like they have nothing to offer. So it's not just physical money, it's that poverty of spirit. And God says, you're not poor in my eyes. You're valuable in my eyes. Come on and do this, please. This banquet is free. So the invitation is also to all those who labour. So the prophet, written thousands of years ago, is still in tune with those of us who are working themselves into the ground without seeing any lasting results. And that doesn't have to be about employment. That can be about all sorts of areas in your life. And it may be our experience too. So if you're working in order to impress the neighbours, if you're working in order to meet your own idea of success and perfection, maybe it's just to matter in an organisation, maybe it's to be liked, we're invited to stop because God already likes us. That's good news, isn't it? God already loves us. And this is an invitation to life, as we said in verse 3. Come, listen. So just want to unpack a little bit of what this invitation to life is about. To the people who were reading in Isaiah's time, they would have understood that this was an invitation to get back to Eden, to get back to the tree of life, which is where life started. And it would have really hit home to them. And that's part of the asking, what did this mean to these people and what does that mean to me? So if we go back to the beginning of the story, we think about all that happened back in Genesis. God made this beautiful world and this amazing garden, and by chapter 3, people had ruined it. But we're invited to go back. We're invited to stop rebelling and turn on to God. And that's our human condition, to do away with God. There's a nice little mnemonic my friend uses when she talks about sin, because it's quite a churchy word. And she talks about sin as being S-I-N. Shove off God, I'm in charge and know to your rules. And that might hit a chord with you about the human condition. This is our desire normally, is I want to put myself on the throne. I don't want to put God there. And he says, no, if you want to stop being thirsty, come into the garden and join me at the tree of life. So despite my constant ability to say, shove off God, I'm in charge and no to your rules, God never gives up. He was offering this to the Israelites in Isaiah, and he still offers it to me today here in 2022. Throughout the biblical story, there are many, many moments where God continues to rescue and meets his people's need, often at a place where there's water. So think about people like Jacob at a well, at Hagar near a desert spring, and the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness. And this is God's covenant. It's a promise. It is secure and we can rely on it. God says, regardless of how you treated me, I will never forsake you. I am going to love you to the end and bring you back to the garden. To a people coming out of exile, to us coming out of COVID, God says, don't stop believing. My covenant is everlasting. So it's great to have a promise, isn't it? And sometimes we just need something in writing, something that underlines that the promise is reliable. So my mortgage company definitely wanted to know about my pay before they promised to loan me some money. And I had to prove it. And God proves his promise is reliable time and again. And he did it in the best way possible. He did it through Jesus. And this invitation to life comes to us from Jesus. Jesus is God coming good on his word. Jesus is God bringing real water to life. Jesus is God's faithfulness and his covenant with skin and flesh on. Isn't it interesting that we know from the New Testament that when Jesus died on the cross because of my sin, because of my wrongdoing, he said, I am thirsty. And the Israelites may have thought of this passage. Of course, Jesus was physically thirsty, but it's also a really strong symbol of what the cross was achieving. He thirsted so that we don't have to. He took on my death so that I don't have to. He was exiled from heaven so that I could go home. He was abandoned so that I could know life. So I'm just going to move us on briefly to John chapter 7, verse 37 from the New Testament, where Jesus says, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." His promise really is for everyone. Some of us might find it quite hard to accept that kind of an invitation because it seems so countercultural that you turn up with nothing and get everything. How on earth could I be loved when what I see is love that's quite flaky or fragile relationships, and where it's easy for a friend on Facebook to say, "No, I don't want to be your friend anymore." Or if we don't make the grade, we think that might be tempted to think that God's the same, but I assure you he isn't. God will never cancel us, he will never drop me, he does realize who he's inviting. So it's not like he's invited a stranger, because he knows me inside out. And this takes us back to Isaiah 55. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So in these verses saying, he doesn't respond like other people we know. His love isn't like ours, and he's not like other people. He cannot go back on his word. And we don't even have a way of measuring, of understanding the sheer depth, height, and width of his love. A love like this means that we can come out of exile. We can go from being lost to being found. And despite all the certainty we face, we can be secure in the knowledge that we are loved. It's okay to stop trying to prove yourself with endless laboring. We can rest in the knowledge that we will always be loved. And this is the invitation. And it's an invitation for Marshall, who's sitting there. And it's an invitation for Yvonne. And it's, I've forgotten everyone else's names. It's an invitation for us individually as well as corporately. So if you don't already know about that life-giving life, if you don't think you know who Jesus is and you don't think you are resting in him, please talk to someone after the service, because I'm sure they'll be able to help you. And for those of us that have been in church a few years, for those that accepted the invitation maybe when you were, you know, 8, maybe when you were younger, now is the time that God invites you to continue that calling. You know, I was 14 when I became a Christian because my friend Jill at school decided that she was a Christian, and she decided to act like it and to tell others. And I will be grateful into eternity because she could be bothered to invite me. And that's a really good example of what Bible Society is doing as well. God tells Abraham that he would bless him and that he should go and be a blessing to others. God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush and then tells him to go and tell Pharaoh. What a challenge. Jesus tells us he loves us, and then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." So it's great to hear the invitation, and for those that have already accepted it, please go on and tell others. Going back to our passage, Isaiah 55 says, "Surely you will summon nations that you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, because he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." So there's a call, isn't there, for the nation of Israel to go and tell others, and there's a call on us to run to him and tell others they can run to him too. We've been invited into that call. And it's never been more needed or relevant. It's not okay to think that because we have Wi-Fi, because we have computers, that we don't thirst, because we know that we still do. It's also easy to think, well, I'm not really fit for sending. I'm like, Moses did it, Abraham did it, but actually, that's exactly the sort of person God uses. So if you feel like I can't possibly explain the gospel to my friend, I assure you God can, and he can use you. He doesn't wait for us to be strong, capable, and confident, not really ready. He takes us now, and he uses us right where we are. The promises of God are as sure and certain as the rain that falls from the sky. Just as it brings new life and growth, so will the word of God. And this is what God says to a fearful Israel coming in exile, and he says to us today, my word will not fail, take heart. This is a promise we need to hear because fear plays such a massive role in our lives and we're so easily discouraged by our own fearfulness. You might have dreamed a dream or felt a conviction that you could make a difference only to be prevented by the fear when you wake. Fear is natural. Courage, however, is a choice, and the world needs a courageous choice. Rington needs a courageous choice. My county in Wiltshire needs a courageous church. Courage doesn't deny fear, but it does say that fear isn't the only thing there is, and that something there is greater is God. So as we see our neighbours returning from exile, returning to normal, let's join them in proclaiming the good news to them. I'm just going to close now with a quote from Ephesians 2 verse 10 that says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So just like the unique touch or the face ID on your phone that allows you to open it, God has uniquely shaped each and every one of you and wired you, your experience, your language, everything, your background, to make sure that you are the right person. I'm not sure if any of you have heard of an American theologian, a guy called Tim Keller, and he says, "There is someone only you can see. There are some hands only you can hold. And there's some people only you can reach." So that's our call. So this is the call. Have you responded to God's initial invitation to come and listen to his offer, because he calls you now? If not, I encourage you to go to him to accept that life in all its fullness through Jesus. I did that when I was 14. And I haven't regretted it a single day. It's the best thing I ever did. And then the secondary call is, once you've done that, to pass that invitation on to others, not in our own power, but empowered by Jesus. So please, thank you for partnering with Bible Society to offer the Bible to the world, as I mentioned at the beginning. Please continue to partner with us in offering this amazing word to those you know. Let's just pray as we close. Father, we've used a lot of words to unpack your words. I pray, Lord, that what is said will not return to you empty, but would bring a harvest in our own hearts where we offer ourselves to you, where we accept your invitation and offer it to others. Or we think of James, may we not just hear the word and immediately forget what it says. May we take it deep into our hearts and own it for ourselves, Lord. Amen.